This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It is summertime, and that means more time spent outdoors, whether it's backyard barbecues, beach days or evening walks. But with the warm weather also comes an unwelcome guest, and that is the mosquitoes. These tiny little insects are more than just a nuisance. They can leave behind those horrible itchy bites and in some cases can transmit serious diseases. So rather than let them ruin our evening barbecue, how do popular repellents like DEET and citronella to work, and do they actually work? And are those so-called natural alternatives really effective? Well, Daniel Eldridge is a senior lecturer in chemistry at Swinburne University of Technology. Daniel, excited to chat with you again.
Thank you very much for having me back, Warren.
Why is it, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but why do mosquitoes seem to be more, I suppose, attracted to certain humans rather than others?
Look, it's a very common question. A lot of people think they've got it out for them. There's a lot of studies to say it's not personal. They're pulled in by a few different things. So carbon dioxide has been shown to be one of those substances. Some of the compounds that we release in our sweat and some other skin odors. Also, depending on any other fragrances or the perfumes in your deodorant or even perfumes, some compounds in those can attract them. Plenty of things that we give off, whether we like it or not, and one or two things that we could try and avoid as well.
So potentially the fragrance that we put on our skin, we could be saying, hey, come over and bite me.
But there's no question. There's certainly evidence out there to show that some of the perfumes that are in some things we use can be attractants to these mosquitoes. But similarly, you don't want to be thinking, oh, I'm not going to use any deodorant or keep that fragrance away, because they're definitely attracted to that.
Ah, okay. So is it just the female mosquitoes that bite, or is it all of them?
They are the ones that are responsible for all of our problems here, yeah. So, I hate to put that blanket over it, but that is the case here.
And what is it? Do they feed on our blood, or are they using it to, you know, for some reproductive purpose? What's going on?
I'm not deep into the biochemistry of that, but they're absolutely after it as a means of feeding. That is how they feed.
Okay. Now let's talk about, the mosquito repellents that we can get at the supermarket or at the outdoor camping store. There's a product that's contains a thing called DEET, D-E-E-T. I believe it's been around since the 1950s. How does it work, and do we need to ensure it's got that ingredient?
Yeah, so DEET, as it's commonly referred to, it is the tried and true formulation that people have been using. As you say, it was discovered quite some time ago, almost 70 years ago now. And for something that we're all so interested in, keeping those mozzies off us and preventing those bites, you'd think we'd have this all nailed down for exactly how it works. But it's actually something which is still studied right up until this day. So some people have, put forward some evidence and said, yeah, look, this works because the mosquitoes detect, that you've got this DEET compound layer over you and they avoid you. Others have, suggested evidence that it confuses them and prevents them from approaching. There's other evidence just suggesting they simply smell and avoid it. And there's also people who've proven that if they do land on your skin and there's a DEET coating on that skin, they very quickly want to get off. So it's quite possibly an interplay of some of these different things, but the jury is still out.
You know what really concerns me about that, though, Daniel, is if we don't know how it works, do we know whether it's safe or not? Is it safe for regular use?
Yeah, so again, very important question. There's lots of studies that people have done on the safety of these compounds. In one sense, you could say, look, we've been using it for almost 70 years. So that's plenty of evidence to tell us that if there was a real problem, we would be aware of it. But when we look at the reported incidents around DEET-based insecticides or mosquito repellents, there are very few cases reported where people have an adverse reaction. And more often than not, when they investigate, it turns out that it's due to some inappropriate application or use of it. Now, it's not recommended for infants, and there are always people who have particular sensitivities to different materials. But by and large, the evidence is that it really is quite safe and certainly beats the alternative of some of the diseases that mosquitoes can carry.
Daniel, is DEET, though, as a compound, I suppose, is it a bit like, and I don't know if I'm drawing a long bow here, but is it a bit like antibiotic resistance? If I put something on with DEET in it, and do the mozzies around my area sort of become a bit resistant to it and go, you know what, we're used to him wearing this DEET now, let's just go in and bite anyway. Do they get used to it?
That's a great question. I haven't seen any solid evidence-based studies on that. Most people are looking at whether it works, in which case the answer is yes. It tends to be one of the most effective materials on the market. They're looking at whether it works, and they're looking at how long it works for. And again, it's one of the superior performers in that regard.
Daniel, let's say we head off to the local supermarket. I won't mention any brands at the moment, but we buy one of the more common brands of mosquito repellents out there. It doesn't have DEET in it. What other sorts of alternatives can they have?
Yeah, look, there are a couple of others that are out there which are tried and true and the research suggests works well. Some of them contain a compound called picaridin or icaridin, those have been proven to be, in most circumstances, similar in their efficacy to the DEET-related products, so they seem to be a good choice. And more recently, there's some that are using, this is where things get dangerous. So they're using a derivative, we've just got to be careful about what we're choosing here. They're using a chemical which is produced from oil of lemon eucalyptus. Now, this is not lemon eucalyptus oil. It's a chemical compound that comes from that substance when we treat it. And that substance, which is called PMD, is also producing some really positive results. It's being shown to be a really effective mosquito repellent, both in terms of its ability to repel them and the duration over which it works. So that's another good one that you can go for.
I can see how you could easily get confused, though, because the thought of, oh, I'm just using oil from eucalyptus sounds completely harmless and natural. And I suppose, I'd be quite happy to apply it, but this is not that. It's this other thing.
Look, that's exactly right. And I think therein lies one of the potential dangers. Mm. I think particularly in modern times, there is this real attraction to the idea of, oh, I'll use this, it's natural, it's therefore better. And that's really not necessarily the case. Whether something is good for us or not doesn't come down to whether it's natural or whether it's synthetic. There are lots of very dangerous natural substances. There are lots of very safe synthetic substances. It's about making sure we are simply choosing the right product. Some things are safe for us and some things are not. Some are effective and some are not. So in this case, it is that particular compound that comes from this oil that's the useful part.
We're chatting with Daniel Eldridge, Senior Lecturer in Chemistry at Swinburne University of Technology, about mosquito repellents and how they work. Daniel, before we move on to the next substance, mosquito repellents, we don't always apply them. It's only in summer. It might be when we go outside. So it's easy to buy a tube, a roll-on or a spray, whatever you use, keep it in your cupboard, and it can be 10 years old. Do they go off?
So most commercial products these days do have a use-by date on them, and when you buy when you make chemical purchases, so it's exactly the same. They do tend to, because a lot of things do degrade over time, but it certainly should have a pretty lengthy use-by date on it. But as always, check the bottle, and that way you can be sure that the manufacturers have tested and will guarantee its performance up to that point in time.
Daniel, what's in those? I remember those mosquito coils that you used to burn. I always called them mosquito snails. What's in those? What sort of repellent is in those? And do they work?
That's a great question with the coil. I'm not sure off the top of my head which repellent it is in there. I might have to get back to you on that one another time.
That's completely fine. What about natural repellents? Some people swear by some of the natural repellents. Let's talk about citronella. Is that a natural repellent?
Yeah, so, and this is, I remember being personally disappointed when I first started learning these things, beliefs that you have growing up, if I sit outside and light the citronella candle, I'll be good to go. Look, they definitely do provide some deterring capability, but when people sit down and rigorously study these things, they find that it doesn't deter nearly enough of the mosquitoes, and also doesn't last for nearly as long. So if you are looking for protection, you really do want to have one that you can can apply directly to your exposed skin to try and mitigate the chances of them coming landing and giving you that itch.
Daniel, I can set up an experiment for you. You just get the coils. You can have 10 coils. Surround me with them. Put me in the center, and I guarantee you we'll disprove that they work, because they'll come and bite me straight away, even with these.
Are you sure that's something you want to volunteer for?
More than happy to. Let's talk about bracelets and, I hate these things, ultrasonic devices. Do they work?
Yeah, again, there's, lots of interesting developments and things people are advertising in these spaces. Again, when people have sat down and rigorously studied whether the ultrasonic devices work, the answer seems to be a resounding no, that they're ineffective. And for the bracelets or other wearable devices, again, when people have investigated, they look at them and say, look, yes, some of them contain the right kind of compounds that might repel mosquitoes, mm-hmm. but unfortunately wearing the bracelet isn't enough to stop them from landing on the other parts of your body. So they are just generally not as effective as you'd like them to be. Again, you want to make sure you've got that even layer of repellent coating your exposed skin.
Daniel, before we let you go, apart from repellents, what are some other ways, I suppose, to prevent the mosquitoes from biting us?
Look, I wish I had some great secret that you'd all take away with you and think, oh, this is the key, it's going to change my life. But honestly, shut the doors, put up barriers, that is the best way. But otherwise, if you're going to brave the great outdoors, then covering yourself in one of these repellents, according to those directions, that's going to be the best way to try and minimize your chances of getting those awful bites.
Daniel, the worst thing is, when you go to bed and you think, oh, I'm so cozy, I'm ready to go to sleep, and then you hear that zzz. That is the worst sound.
It is the most annoying sound in the world. Again, you know it's there. You can't see it. Just hear it. And then a moment later, it's, I've missed it.
It got me. Great to chat with you, Daniel. Thank you so much for chatting with us on Drive.
Thanks again, Warren. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Daniel Eldridge, Senior Lecturer in Chemistry from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.